RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it. For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Monday morning, what's up, Rich and Michael Phillips here. 2 hours live and local MP on the mic. Great to have you with us. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Big week ahead starting tomorrow. We got Flying Squirrels tickets to give out every single day for you. Stay tuned. You can be a winner. We'll take on VCU grabbing a commitment over the weekend. We'll get a Squirrels update. It was not a good week for the Squirrels. NFL schedule is one game closer to being released. We now have two NFL games publicly announced. And why don't we just do this the rest of the way? Instead of a schedule release Wednesday night, why don't we just release one every hour all week? Just some of them will be good, like, oh, Chiefs-Ravens, man, I'm fired up for that. But, like, every game gets its own hour of announcement. Like, all right, here it is. It's week 14, 1 p.m. You know what time it is. It's time for the Giants and the Texans. Okay. All right. Yeah. We got to sit on that for an hour. Just we'll drip it out one at a time. That's the plan for the NFL schedule release. News from Commanders rookie minicamp. I will get to that in future segments. I think we need to start, though, with the most interesting thing to come out of Commanders rookie minicamp. Lines are yours, 833-804-0910. On Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Michael P. in RVA. Dan Quinn's shirt. I mean, that's the topic. That's the topic. And I think the fact that everybody had such a reaction to it tells you we're not in the clear yet. I always had this discussion when RG3 was on his way out and there was a lot of reporting about it. Anytime I'd tweet anything about RG3, the first 20 replies were always, "We don't care anymore. We don't care." And when everybody jumps up to yell how much they don't care, they care, right? It can bother you. It can feel like too much, but you care. And that's where we're at with the name, right? I played the clip last week. Rick Snyder. They're not changing the name anytime soon. Like, doesn't mean people don't have feelings about it. People still have a lot of feelings about it. But here, I want to go back to the beginning, and we'll clarify here. Dan Quinn wore a shirt to rookie minicamp. He did his TV interviews. It's a Commanders shirt. It says Commanders. It's got the block W, that, you know, the new W. There was the Washington Football Team W. Now there's the Commanders W. Different W's. It's got the Commanders W. And in the upper left corner of the Commanders W, it's got two Native American feathers, which of course was the imagery on the old Redskins helmet on the logo. So a nod to the past, obviously. I want to go back to where we were at the name change, because I think even now there's a lot of narrative and a lot of people think they know why the name was changed, and they're wrong. So I want to start there before we dive into what the shirt means and what Dan Quinn was doing, and where we go from here. Because I think a lot of people, because when it happened was around the same time as Black Lives Matter protests, the statues coming down on Monument Avenue, and a lot of people say, oh, you know, like, there was a societal awakening, and they took the name off the team. That's not what happened. What happened was Dan Snyder was, you know, maybe the worst owner in North American professional sports and had alienated a lot of people. And he alienated specifically a group of people that was a really bad idea. And that was the three people who also co-owned the Washington team with him. So this was Dwight Schar, Fred Smith, and Robert Rothman. They collectively owned about 40% of the team. And the reporting, you know, and this is reporting from ESPN, and obviously I wasn't in the room, I can't confirm this, but reportedly, right, Dan started charging things that the team was doing to himself, right? So the team paid Dan Snyder millions of dollars to license his private jet to paint the logo on it, right? To sponsor Dan's private jet. He started not giving the correct distributions out every year under the guise of COVID or we need money for this or whatever. The minority owners felt they were being stiffed by Dan Snyder, and they didn't feel like they had a lot of recourse. And there is still litigation going on about this because they feel they were not properly compensated for their shares of the team. So they didn't just want Dan out. They wanted to buy the team from Dan. They wanted him out, and they wanted to buy the team. There was a big, messy fight. It ended with the commissioner essentially settling them outside of court and saying, Dan will buy you guys out. They didn't win. That wasn't what they wanted. They wanted Dan out, and they wanted to stay in. But along the way, when Dan had angered them enough, Fred Smith owns FedEx, the shipping company. They have their name on the stadium. It's FedEx Field. You might remember they put out the first statement. They put out a press release that said FedEx believes the Washington Redskins need to change their name. Now, is this because FedEx is a company that loves and cares for the Native American community? Or is this because FedEx is an activist company that wants to change things societally in very progressive ways? No. This is because the owner didn't like Dan Snyder. And this was something Dan Snyder loved, right? Dan said, we'll never change the name. Never. You can use all caps when you write it. This was personal. This had nothing to do with the name. This was the three of them who owned 40% of the team chipping away at Dan and angering Dan and trying to get him closer to a sale. And of course, the momentum rolled from there, and Nike joined in and other companies joined in. I think Walmart joined in at one point. And once the sponsors were all on board, there was, of course, a critical mass, and they changed the name. Now, we can talk about how they picked a bad name, because they did. Commander's name still stinks. Nothing's changed in that regard. But fundamentally, the name was not changed because of Native American protests. I'm not diminishing the people who come out and protest. I'm not diminishing the advocacy of those people. I'm just telling you, they've been out there since 1970. This wasn't a recent development. They've been picketing games and boycotting games and boycotting the name and the imagery since 1970. They didn't wake up one morning and the NFL was just like, oh, they got a point. Let's change the name. No, this was personal. So that's the context you have to start with, is that's why the name was changed. Now, secondly, and I'll inject my opinion here, I don't think the team should be called the Redskins. I don't think the team will be called the Redskins again. If you look at the Redskins name, it's very clearly a slur towards Native American people. The dictionary defines it as such. There's no redeeming quality to the name Redskins. It is a caricature of Native American people. It's like Chief Wahoo, right? The imagery is more complicated, right? Because nobody liked Dan Snyder, but Dan Snyder correctly noted the logo was designed by Native American groups. There are lots of Native American groups that wore the Redskins gear with the logo, that embraced the name. And certainly look at Florida State, the Seminoles, who still have Native American imagery with the approval of the tribe in the area. And they're not the only ones. The Chicago Blackhawks hockey team in D.C. So you've got a complicated situation here where it's not black and white. You also, saying what do the Native Americans think is a silly question out of the gate because there's a lot of them, right? It'd be like, what do Asians think about that? Well, there's a lot of them. The Chinese people might think differently than the Japanese people, than, you know, than people in Hong Kong, than people in Taiwan, than people in Tibet. These Native American groups, there's a lot of nations there with a lot of different opinions. What do we do? Do we poll them and go with the majority opinion? I don't know. What I know is, back when this was hot a few years ago, Paul Woody, my guy at the newspaper, he went out and he called the Native American tribes of Virginia and he said, look, what he wrote was, I think they should change it, but I called the Native American tribes and they're pretty indifferent on the matter. And they had mixed opinions, and a lot of them didn't care and were fine with it. So what do you do with that? I don't know what you do with that. I'm not a believer that you just bury it and never say it again, and you know, you can never show video of the Super Bowls again. And I think this is one part of a slow bringing back of the imagery, which is going to continue. I also think there's a lot of people in the national media, in the local media, who reflexively dunk on the team for anything they do ever. Right? And this is just another, oh, tone deaf Dan Quinn wearing the Native American feathers. Just, oh man, Washington franchise botched it again. They can't get anything right in Ashburn. And that's not helpful. That's not productive. And that's wrong. We went over this with the Jaden Daniels bet the other day, and I'll slide back in on that in a future segment. There's reasonable takes here on the name and its offensiveness, and there's reasonable takes here on what you can do that aren't just reflexively everything the team does is bad, right? We can't go back to calling the team the Redskins. Can you go back to having Native American imagery of any sort with a different name? I think I'm open to the discussion. I'm not the expert here. There are people who are the experts here. I think we should talk to them. I think we should get their opinions. I think we should do it in consultation with them. But I'm not taking that off the board. Did Dan Quinn know what he was doing? You bet Dan Quinn knew what he was doing. Dan Quinn, it built himself a lot of love with the fan base over the weekend. Dan Quinn became a more popular coach of the Washington Commanders over the weekend. Did Dan Quinn know what he was doing? I don't think he knew how loud the backlash would be. And we talk about this all the time, right? Every Washington coach has had this discussion at some point, right? Every Jay Gruden, you know, and Mike Shanahan and Ron Rivera's, why does everybody assume everything we do is wrong? And the answer previously was because your owner stinks, right? Because nobody likes the owner. So you don't get the benefit of the doubt here. It's changed, and there are people who haven't changed who have made their living for 20 years dunking on everything this football team does. And they're going to keep dunking on everything this football team does. But it's a new day. I'm not saying, and I've said this many times, I've hedged on this, I don't think this ownership group, Josh Harris, is going to be the next Rooney family. I don't think they're going to be the greatest owners in NFL history. I think they're average. I think they're right in the middle, average. I think that's good enough. If you're average in the NFL, you can win titles. The league's built to build you up and tear you down and build you up again. And I think they'll live in that cycle. But there's a lot of people in the DC ecosystem who are going to have to realize you can't just dunk on everything the team does. That's not a profitable way to success anymore. There's still attention there. There's still attention. I mean, look at how many Twitter bots were selling that stupid shirt, right? That's probably for another segment, this whole Twitter bot thing where, like, anytime anybody posts a picture, like, they automated send out, like, buy a shirt with that. Every post with the shirt has, like, hundreds of links, like, buy the shirt from us. Those aren't licensed, by the way. Nobody's making that shirt. Somebody just printing that in his basement. They're sending it to you. Hey, buy the shirt if you want to buy the shirt. Sure. Like, if you want to wear a Redskins jersey, wear a Redskins jersey. I'm not one of these people that says you can never say it again. I don't think it's helpful when we go to the two extremes. One extreme being, oh, Dan Quinn is ruining the everything this franchise is trying to accomplish. Or number two, ooh, Redskins is coming back. They're going to name the team the Redskins. No, they're not. They're not going to. Now, can they have Native American imagery? I think we're in the gray area there. And I think Dan Quinn's exploring the gray area. I don't think we're having a productive discussion about it at all. But we'll open the lines if you got thoughts on it, 833-804-0910. We're off and rolling. It's a Monday. It's MP on the mic. Lots more to come. 2 hours alive and local before we hand it off to AWOD Radio. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday morning, got half of the Monday Fun Day crew here. That's all right. Hazel back next week. That's all right. That's all right. We'll make do. We'll make do. Megan's here.
We'll make do.
Yeah, Megan's here, and that's all right, because you're my squirrels expert.
I am.
Big news. Big news, because I don't think I'll see you, because tomorrow it's remote show for me, so I may not see you until Thursday. Friday, you are the pregame entertainment.
At
the Diamond.
I'm so excited. I will be singing live from the Diamond at 11 a.m.
Live from the Diamond. In that like area where the band's set up?
Yeah, it's like the concourse area, I've
sure.
been told. I've never actually like been
top
to
of the
see
stairs.
Someone else like perform there.
I have many times. Me, so. Yeah. Right at the top of the stairs. We'll hear you from the press by I haven't talked to Trey yet, so I don't want to like promise things.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do the show from there on
Friday.
I think
that would be awesome.
Could we get a guest appearance?
Yeah, definitely.
In the 10 o'clock hour? Okay.
I'd be down.
All right.
I'll be up there at 10 setting up, so just let me know.
Do you have like vocal warm-ups that you do? Is there
I do. So the thing is, like, I usually don't do them. I just jump straight in.
Good to be young.
But with the Diamond is like a really big performance for me, so I will be warming up that morning.
Wow.
So
feel honored.
Yep.
Be getting the A game.
I'm trying to like get my set together. I have not been the greatest about preparing, but this week is like go time. I'm going to be preparing and rehearsing and trying to figure out what I want. And you know, it's going to be on the big screen. It's a big deal. I need to be ready.
They're going to put you on the big screen?
Yep.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm scared, but I'm so excited.
All right. No, I'm firing up for you. This is exciting. Look, it's the noon game on Friday. It's the best time, right?
Yeah.
Call your weekend a little early. Get out there. There's nothing happens Friday afternoon anyway.
Nothing happens.
Lots of things happened here last Friday because we were at TGI Fridays.
That's right. I missed it.
You did miss it. I promised I would eat all the apps, and I ate all the apps.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, yeah. No, like the whole Odyssey team came out. It was great.
Nice. That's so cool.
Lily was there, and John Reed from downstairs, and the sales team, and
oh my goodness,
Awan dropped by. He was wearing the RG3 jersey. it was a good show. We had, I would say, we probably had 10 to 12 Odyssey people there representing, putting on a good show. Now the reason I'm very excited for you with this squirrels thing. So obviously I want to make sure to mention that. But two, there is not much squirrels update to give. I'm using our squirrels update time on Megan's music career because I do think that's preferable to giving an actual squirrels update here, given the circumstances.
It was really rough. Like I worked producing a few of the games last week, and it was really, really rough out there.
So here's the deal. They've changed the format in minor league baseball. That in Major League Baseball, every 3 days, they pack up, they go to a new city. Play three games against a team, you move on. In Minor League Baseball, now you play 6 games against a team.
Yeah.
The whole week. You play the whole week against a team, and you move on. Now, you can split the series 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
You have 4-2, either way, right? Like, competitive series. Sometimes, it's 5-1. If it's 5-1 for the good guys, that's a good week of baseball.
Yeah.
If it's 5-1 the other way, you gotta lick your wounds, get back at them. I can't recall in recent memory seeing a 6-game homestand sweep.
That's insane.
The Squirrels lost 7-0 yesterday to Erie. Erie completed the 6-game sweep. Squirrels have now lost 8 in a row.
Yeah, what I've been told is like Erie, my sources, they tell me Erie is like miserable anyway. So that just made it more unbearable.
The punishment is a week in Erie, and they've been on top of that and losing baseball games. Leo Lockhart picks up the win for the Seawolves. It's Matt Frisby on the mound for the Squirrels. He now has 256 strikeouts with the Squirrels. That's third place on the team's all-time list. So that's as good as the news gets.
It really is.
Eight in a row. Last time we had a losing streak like this, Parney actually said he wouldn't leave the diamond until they won.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he like slept there. he literally just lived in the infield until they won.
Well, you know, I was talking to Blaine.
Pitched
the other
a tent and everything.
I was talking to Blaine and I was like, I don't know how you get motivation to come back after such a bad losing streak. That's your motivation. Get Parney out of the diamond.
No promises this time around. Squirrel's back tomorrow. You'll hear it on the Fan, 6:35 homestand. Go support the boys this summer. Gotta break this losing, at least by the time you take the stage on Friday. We need to have a little positive momentum here.
I mean, my last name's Luck. I'm bringing the luck Friday.
The losing streak ends Friday for sure. Hopefully before Friday.
Yep, hopefully.
Ryan Murphy on the mound for the Squirrels tomorrow night, 6:35 first pitch. You know the pregame starts at 6:05, and you know where to find it right here. 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Rookie NFL minicamp over the weekend. And you think I'm excited about rookie minicamp? Sure, I'm excited for rookie minicamp. You think I'm as excited as Jim Harbaugh is about rookie minicamp? I'm not.
About 3:34 in the morning, woke up, staring straight at the ceiling, and said to myself, it's not just another day, it's today. And maybe that's just another way of saying, attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. But it was a great day.
Why is he breathing like that?
He's a maniac. He's such a maniac. I love it. 3:34 a.m. 3:34 a.m. That, you got to be a maniac.
Yeah.
That, by the way, is later than John Gruden woke up when he was a football coach of the Oakland Raiders. He woke up at 3:17 a.m. every morning.
Oh my gosh.
Every day. These people are maniacs.
They really are.
Pop up in your bed at 3:40. It's not just another day, Megan. It's today.
See,
I don't even
point,
know what that means.
Yeah, no.
That guy's excited. I love it. I don't have any news from Chargers rookie minicamp other than Jim Harbaugh's excited. But I know the Patriots had a weekend. So, look, we talked about the shirt in segment one. That was the Commanders news. Dan Quinn wore a shirt with Native American feathers on it. The other thing that happened this weekend, aside from Jim Harbaugh realizing it was today, was Gerard Mayo, coach of the Patriots, was asked how Drake May did at his first rookie minicamp. And, look, there's a lot of answers you can give, and it's okay to say kids got some work to do, or, you know, he showed signs, whatever you want to say. You don't have to gush about him. That's not mandatory. This isn't it. No.
Early impressions of Drake. Look, I mean, he has a lot to work on, but I have no doubt that he'll put the time in. So, you know, I know you guys saw him out. Well, you didn't see him out here yesterday, but, you know, he was here all night trying to get, you know, on the same page as everyone else.
Look, there's a time for he was at the facility all night, right? If you want to, like, if you're the Timberwolves, you're like, man, we went back out there. We shot 1,000 shots after everybody left the Target Center last night. Yeah, it's the playoffs. You know, regular. If the Squirrels want to get out there and take BP all morning today, yeah, 8-game slide. You got to do it. I don't know that that's actually the right time to be like, hey, he was out there all night. Like, he's committed to getting this right. It's rookie mini camp, dude. Like, it's rookie mini camp. Let's all take a deep breath here. The video was making the rounds, though. Somebody put Jaden Daniels throwing the ball on the split screen with Drake May throwing the ball. And, whew, boy, the timing was different. It was popping out of Jaden Daniels' hand, and it was kind of coming out of Drake May's hand eventually. It put it in pretty stark relief. And what did we hear pre-draft? Drake May needs another year, needs a little seasoning, needs the red shirt year. You're not gonna get that there. Although I guess they got Jacoby Brissett, so Brissett could be starting there pretty quickly if they decide to pull the plug on that. I don't envy that spot for Gerard Mayo. One, you're following the guy, Bill Belichick. He's got all the rings. You're the Bill Belichick heir. He left you nothing. That roster stinks. And now you got a quarterback who needs a year of seasoning. That could be a long season up there in New England. That's a really good division, too, right? Bills think they're going to win the Super Bowl every year. Dolphins certainly Super Bowl contenders. I don't know that I'm putting Dolphins on my Super Bowl like actual contenders list, but they're going to talk themselves into it in camp for sure. They could win 10. And Jets, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing to win 7. He's in, and they got a loaded lineup, and they bolstered their offensive line. See if they can keep him upright for more than 3 snaps this season. That's going to be a good division of football right there. I don't envy Gerard Mayo. He's got a lot to work with there, a lot of work to do. Drake May, staying late, burning the midnight oil at rookie minicamp. It's not just another day, Megan. It's today. We are attacking this show with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And we're back with more MP on the mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday morning, 10:45. What's up? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. Shows yours as well, 833-804-0910. Megan's on the other side. That was a good squirrels update there. I always feel like anytime you're here, the squirrels update gets better because you may consume more squirrels baseball than any person in this town not named Blaine or Trey.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's very fair.
Because I don't even think the players watch every game.
No.
They're in the clubhouse. They're eating sandwich. I covered Major League Baseball. They don't watch all 162 of them. Like the bullpen guys aren't watching.
No.
They're just hanging out. They're spitting sunflower seeds. They're living a good life. They're chatting with the people in the bullpen deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a casual sport.
It'll definitely teach you the game very well, like working it and stuff. When I first started working it, I was really able to just pick up on cues and just, you know, you don't really have to have the details, but I'm starting to like learn the actual game now, which is nice.
It'd be nice if they won. 8-game losing streak.
Nice if they won,
8-game losing streak for the Squirrels.
Come on,
gotta snap out of this skit. A little eerie smack talk going on there in that last segment.
Yeah.
Did 910 The Fan is kind of known for its stances on eerie. That's it's good to have you on the team.
Yeah.
I hope everybody survived the roads this morning. That was the roads were a mess this morning.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible.
The downtown expressway was closed.
Yeah, and they all came over to Huguenot. I didn't appreciate that.
Hey, got to go somewhere. I got to drive somewhere. Just sitting there, like, what's going on? Because it's always backed up when you get to the energy. When I come up here, I come up on 195, and there's the two lanes that merge into one. Mm-hmm. And it's always like, you know, which one are you going to pick? Neither of them today was the answer. You're just a disaster out there. A car traveling eastbound smashed into the toll booth and caught on fire.
Oh my god!
At 5:30 this morning.
Oh my god!
They missed the lane and they hit the toll booth. Nobody was in the toll booth, so that's good.
Are the people in the car okay?
I didn't say, but
okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they're fine.
Yeah,
smash into a toll booth and catch on fire. That's not good.
hopefully
alive. I don't know, but. Smash it into a toll booth.
That's wild.
There's going to be something going on there.
Yeah.
There's going to be something going on there. Speaking of something going on there, this show is very complimentary towards the Kelce brothers.
Yes.
I like them. I think you like them as well.
I do.
We now have beef with Jason Kelce.
Oh, Dewey, what did Jason do?
This is unfortunate. I don't want to have beef with Jason Kelce.
Me neither.
But we ride for the 804. That's our policy.
Okay.
We do it. And as you know, the most famous athlete to ever come out of the 804 is not human. It's a horse. Secretariat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Secretariat's the most famous athlete to ever come out of this region. We ride for Secretariat.
Okay.
Here's Jason Kelce on his podcast talking about Secretariat.
Secretariat was juiced to the gills. What are we talking about here? He was right. Secretariat just so happens to be right in the heart of the steroid era. 1973, every NFL player, every baseball player, they were juicing them to the gills. You don't think Secretariat was juiced to the rafters?
Yeah.
Of course it's the fastest horse of all time. They didn't drug test Secretariat the way they did Mystic Dan.
It's a good point.
I'm just bringing up. Nobody talks about it. Secretariat was doping. There's no chance Secretariat wasn't doping.
To be clear, there's a reason nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's why nobody talks about it.
I'm outraged. I feel disrespected.
Yes! Secretariat's, the family of the owner, the yeah. late owner, released a statement that they are outraged by Mr. Kelsey's comments, and that Secretariat was not, in fact, on the juice, which I believe.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If Secretariat was on the juice, you're telling me no other horse in the last 40 years has also thought to inject steroids and run faster? Like, those records are insane. Like, that horse was fast. Mm. That horse was fast. It was lapping the field. Oh, that's not a chemical advantage right there.
Yeah.
No, that's all natural right there. Secretariat. We ride for Secretariat before we ride for the Kelseys. Period.
Sorry, Jason. Sorry, not sorry.
Put RG3 back on Monday Night Countdown. Get Jason out of there. This show will not stand for Secretariat slander. We're not going to do it.
That is the MP official stance.
The testiest argument I ever had at the newspaper, we did a thing where we named the greatest athletes from the Richmond region of all time.
Okay.
And, lots of great candidates. Moses Malone, of course, basketball star. And even, look, Russell Wilson's not the answer, but Russell Wilson's a top five athlete from the area. Justin Verlander has World Series rings. Tons of great athletes from the area. Lots of guys to pick from. Half of the staff, our sports staff, wanted Secretariat. And half of the staff said, it's just a horse. You can't do it. It's just a horse. And I didn't realize what I as an out-of-towner,
yeah.
which I'm not anymore, but, you know, I've been here 17 years now. I'm not an out-of-towner anymore, but as an out-of-towner, I didn't realize the hornet's nest I was walking into. This is debate as old as time material right here. The horse people are not backing down, and the just-a-horse people are not backing down either. There's no backing down.
I can see that. I didn't know it was that intense either, but...
So somebody, not me, seeking to make peace was like, what if we put Secretariat, like, at number 3? Okay. And everybody got mad at that. Because if Secretariat's on the list, it's he's the greatest horse of all time. Mm-hmm. It's insulting to make him number 3. And if he's just a horse, it's insulting to put him at number 3 because he's on the list, period. Nobody liked that solution. Yeah. It was that. These are the tough decisions you got to make sometimes.
I mean,
this town though will unite behind not allowing this Jason Kelsey slander.
I do agree with that one.
There you go. Preakness this week. Only 9 horses in the Preakness this week. No Kentucky Derby horses in the Preakness. That's probably the last mention the Preakness is going to get on this radio program this week. That feels pretty close to irrelevant. Maybe if we have Rick Snyder on, we'll mention the Preakness once. But I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time on the Preakness. Horse racing got its moment. I had my mint julep. It's on to bigger and better sports right now. Speaking of bigger and better, NFL schedule release. We have an official NFL schedule release date. Wednesday night, we'll find out the NFL schedule. My guy Kevin Sheehan up in D.C. would always do the mock schedule. He would guess which dates which teams would play on. I loved it. I thought that was a great way to kill radio time in May. This one's a tough one to read because I don't know how much national juice the Commanders have this year. Are they going to be on Monday Night? I think they'll be on Monday Night Football this year. Will they be on Sunday Night Football this year? I don't think so. I don't think they're a Sunday Night Football team. They'll get a Monday Night. The other one that threw us last year was they ended up on Thanksgiving in their non-Thanksgiving year. So every other year, they play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving when Fox has the game. Last year, CBS had the Thanksgiving game, but they picked Commanders-Cowboys for it, which was a shuffling of the order. Will Fox go back to it this year, or will they put somebody else against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? Are we back in the... I would love to be permanently in the Thanksgiving slot. Wouldn't bother me at all. Some people it bothers a lot because you got the rest disparity. The thing, you know, they got to play on the short week. They got to travel down. We'll get to the Christmas games, which are a disaster waiting to happen for the league. There's some good games though. There are a lot of dud games. They're like aren't dud games, but like they're playing the Bengals. That doesn't elevate to prime time. You got Buccaneers. That's not prime time. Cardinals, Saints, not prime. There's a lot of not prime time games on the schedule. I think it's just the NFC East ones are the ones you're looking at. Steelers, they're hosting the Steelers. That'll be a big-ish game because Russell Wilson, you'll have Jaden Daniels. That's a game with some star power behind it. Little bit of juice on that one. I don't know that might be like a 425. I don't think that's going all the way to prime time though. You got too much good football being played this year to give the Commanders too much prime time love. I think you're going to see a lot of 1 o'clockers. We got two games announced: Ravens Chiefs. That's your opener. That's a great game, obviously. And then the next night, September 6th, Friday night, the Eagles and Packers in Brazil, which I wouldn't mind doing a Brazil game one of these years. That'd be fun. Get the Commanders on the Brazil list. Eagles-Packers is a good game, too, because Jordan Love's going to be coming in there with a lot of momentum. Eagles are going to be looking to redeem their season from last season. The Commanders games I'm looking forward to the most, though, I've said it, the two Giants games. That will tell me, are things different or not? Can you beat the Giants? Can you not get embarrassed by the New York Giants for the first time in at least a decade? At least in recent memory. That's been a sore point for the fans. Can they do it? Can they get over the Giants hump? Those are the ones I'm looking forward to. Because I want to see a new era where they're competitive in the games where they need to be competitive. Where Jaden Daniels is doing the things Jaden Daniels needs to do to take care of business when he needs to take care of business. We'll find out. Wednesday night's the night. We got another hour with you. AWOD Radio takes over live and local from Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. He'll be taking over at noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. It's a Monday in Richmond, Virginia. MP's on the mic. Megan's on the board. AWOD's off to Capitol Ale House. It'll be broadcasting live noon to 3 from the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night, backed by popular demand every Monday night. Grant and Danny will be with you, driving you home tonight. No Flying Squirrels baseball tonight. No Who's Talking tonight either. Just quiet night on the airwaves. Enjoy your Monday. But get back here tomorrow night, because the Squirrels need a win. Squirrels on an 8-game losing streak. We gotta get the Squirrels a dub. Congrats to the Richmond Ivy. Told you about their debut as a pre-professional women's soccer team. Sold out the opener at City Stadium on Saturday night. 1-0 winner, Richmond Ivy. Undefeated franchise history. Best winning percentages in sports history by any franchise ever. Richmond Ivy, number one. They've won 100% of their games as a team. 1-0. 1-0. That's the best winning percentage of any sports franchise all time, ever. Richmond Ivy. You look it up. Like there's the Lakers dynasties, the Montreal Canadiens, UCLA basketball, Connecticut women's basketball, Richmond Ivy, W League soccer. Undefeated all time ever. VCU football, undefeated all time ever. Never played. Ivy's played a game, though. So they got one in the win column. VCU football doesn't have one in the win column. They just don't have any in the loss column. So you go with undefeated there. VCU picked up a commitment over the weekend. Terrence Hill Jr. He's a guard, 6'3 point guard from Roosevelt High School in Portland. And here is my demented sports mind that has been... Yeah, that's not the right word. We'll get the thesaurus.
Yeah, that was a word there.
That's not the right word. Like I feel like I've been like messed up by the transfer portal and the NIL, right? I say like 2 years ago, if you come here like, hey Michael, MP, VCU got a commitment, high school kid in Portland, Oregon, Terrence Hill, 6'3 point guard, great, hope he's good. First thought now, could they not get anybody in the portal? Like, could they not get somebody older? Got to recruit high school? Like, it's kind of beneath us now. Like, He's a high school kid. Okay, great. Which is so wrong. One, we want high school kids because we want four-year players at VCU. Two, we want good players. I don't care how old they are. Three, Ryan Odom knows what he's doing. And he's going to assemble a great team this year, and he gets the benefit of the doubt. But, like, is anybody less excited about high school basketball recruiting than fans right now? You can't get excited for these kids. Like, I'm going to love Terrence Hill. I wish him the best. I hope he's awesome. I also know this. If he scores 10 points a game this year, he's probably not wearing black and gold his sophomore year. He's probably out of here. That's the reality of the business. It's tough to get excited. Now, some of that, there's probably a little natural course correction in there where we were maybe too excited about recruiting high school students for a little too long. Like, the whole industry sprouted up around that. Maybe a little, people are following high school recruiting maybe a little too intensely. Maybe a little pause on that's maybe not the worst thing in the world. But I don't love this alternative world either. Hey, we got a high school kid. Oh, could we not get like a portal kid? Could we not get like a real college player who's played college? That's the way we're wired now. That's all right. Good for Terrence Hill. Good for the Rams filling out that roster, getting closer and closer to a final VCU roster. I don't think we'll have a final VCU roster until August. Last year, Michael Bell was a late addition. Wouldn't surprise me at all this year if we have some summer commitments as well. Obviously, waiting on this NBA draft thing to shake out as well. Combine this week, Wizards pick number 2 overall. Congrats to them on their lottery success. Picking number 2 overall. We'll see a lot of movement as the draft guys come back to college. That creates the domino effect on down. So VCU has, by my count, 9 players under scholarship right now. You're allowed 13. You're leaving the door open for Max, but I don't think you're counting on Max Scholga coming back. That feels like a lot. If that happens, that will be a good day if Max Scholga decides to come back. Feels unlikely, but you're not closing the door on it. But you got four seniors. Your experience, right? Phillip Russell, he's the guy they picked up the other day. UT Arlington, Zeb Jackson, of course. We love Zeb. Joe Bamisil coming back for another round. And then Jack Clark, who they got from Clemson, who I think absolutely has a chance to be their best player. That's your core. Then on the younger end, you got Brandon Jennings coming in, a local kid. I definitely like local high school kids. The Richmond Super Team thing, I think we maybe wanted that to work a little more than that ever had a chance at working with Roosevelt Wheeler, who's on his way out, with Jason Nelson, who's on his way out, with those guys. I wanted that. I wanted a Richmond team. We just didn't quite get a Richmond team that worked out and that worked for the coaching staff. That's all right. There's lots going on. We'll follow the portal for you. And, of course, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM will be your home of the Rams in this upcoming season, whenever that is, whatever that looks like, whatever form that roster takes, we'll be there. We'll be documenting it, and we'll get into it. I think we're also sleeping a little bit on how good Chris Mooney has been in the portal. Obviously, last year caught everybody off guard, me included, with how good of a team he assembled. He's getting some guys this year, too. Chris Mooney may turn out to be a sneaky good portal coach in the NIL, and I don't think... I know everybody will go straight to like, oh, it's UR. They got tons of money. They just throw money at people. I don't think that's what's going on there. Not to suggest they're not paying money, because I think they absolutely are. But, you know, Tyler Burton left for Villanova for the payday. I don't think they're given top of the A-10 level money. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're paying. You got to pay to be competitive. I don't think they're paying at a ridiculous level. I think he's a really good talent evaluator. You know, kind of in the Tony Bennett mold, right? Like, I think Tony Bennett will be good in the portal era, even if he's not excited about it. Let's switch around. Let's do clip number 6, because we're talking about the A-10. I was saving the NBA for the next segment. Let's do NBA in this segment, because we didn't get to Pacers-Knicks, which we were on the Timberwolves-Nuggets series, which is wild. We got to do this Pacers-Knicks series, too, and this jogged my memory, of course, because this is a guy from the A-10. You'll recognize the name.
McConnell lobs it to the goal. Toppin gratefully swallows it up and throws it down as only Toppin can.
Obi Toppin, Indianapolis Pacers, 121-89 over the Knicks. Toppin was part of that Dayton team that got screwed by the pandemic. They were so good that year. Could have been a national title contender, without exaggeration. That The pandemic year took a lot from a lot of people, but that team was really good that year. That team got jobbed by the pandemic. And you'll never know. Never know what could have happened, right? A lot of legacies could have been different. Calipari at Kentucky, maybe his legacy is different. Maybe he's still there. Bill Self at Kansas, number one team in the country, had all the makings of a national title team. Could have raised another banner. You know, we'll never, ever know. This Pacers-Knicks series, though, is getting good, right? If Timberwolves-Nuggets is, series doesn't start until the home team wins a game. Pacers-Knicks is a little truer to the old sports truism, right? We had two games in New York. Knicks squeaked them both out. Two games back in Indiana. Pacers, big wins in both of them. 121-89 yesterday. 2-2 series going back to the Garden. I said this when they left the Garden. I thought Indiana was playing really well. I thought they were this close. I was worried they'd self-destruct on all that officiating talk. They did not. They are coming in with a freight train of momentum. Here's Coach Rick Carlisle.
I look at it as more of a new beginning after each game. I know momentum exists. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but I'm not going to get into the weeds on that kind of analysis when you're dealing with a team like the Knicks.
I'm not going to say momentum exists at all. Not in a series like that. Not where you're going back to the Garden. You're going to have a great crowd for Game 5. You have a ton of hype on Game 5. Every game resets. Ask the Timberwolves about that. Right, they just went in 2 in Denver, didn't guarantee anything. Back on the road for the Pacers, doesn't guarantee anything the other way. Doesn't guarantee anything's going to happen at the Garden, but we've got ourselves a series. Tonight, NBA's in Cleveland. Cavaliers host the Celtics. Looking to even the series, I think this one belongs to the Celtics. I think they're the better team. I don't think this one's going to 7. Then, the night game, Mavericks up 2-1 on the Thunder. Chance to put them in a 3-1 hole at home. I think that's got a chance to be a really fun game. We'll see which way that goes. I don't have a read on that. I've been watching the late night action. But if the Mavericks could put the Thunder in a 3-1 hole, you got to think they're pretty close to the ropes there as the other series tromp on the path to 7. It would appear for the games that were played yesterday. All right, off and running on a Monday. Here's the deal. Not today. Rest of the week, though, we're going to be giving out Flying Squirrels tickets. Swing back tomorrow through Friday. We'll give out tickets to watch the Flying Squirrels in action on Odyssey Night, the fan night. I don't know what we're calling it. It's May 29th. We'll all be out there. AWOD will be out there. Your Odyssey friends will be out there. So we'll be giving away tickets to that all week long, so stay tuned to the program for your chance to win. Of course, we still got a little more action with you today. When we come back, Ted Leonsis gave an interview on the 25th anniversary of him buying the Washington Capitals hockey team, weighed in on Stanley Cup, his memories, what's next. We'll play some of that for you. Also, the most hyped Major League Baseball debut since Steven Strasburg's happened in Pittsburgh over the weekend. We've got that and everything you need to know about the NFL schedule, which will be leaking out over the next about 60 hours before the official release Wednesday night. It's Monday. It's MP on the mic. It's 910 The Fan. Now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.